Good evening, everyone. I'm Lina Ahmoudou. Welcome to Health Chat. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration defines supplements as intended to add further nutritional value to the diet. New research from Ohio State University says men who take vitamin B6 and B12 supplements daily over a long period of time are doubling the risk for lung cancer and tripling their risk if they smoke. Conflicting headlines on the value of nutrients like omega-3 and vitamin D can create doubts among consumers who are not sure how important or necessary it is to take supplements. Well, on the show today, we will discuss the importance of nutrients and supplements. And joining me in the studio for more on the subject is Karen Howard, Executive Director of the Organic and Natural Health Association. Karen, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's so good to have you. Listen, I was reading this news article about how vitamin B6 and 12 could be detrimental to men's health. You know, one has to wonder, at what point do you start feeling confident about vitamins and supplements? You know, some people really are asking themselves, is it necessary to take it?
There's so much conflicting information out there and so much to wade through. It's It's overwhelming. And I think the one thing that you can take away from that study is people actually knowing the level of their nutrient load is really central to maximizing your health potential and avoiding disease.
Okay. So how do you know your level of nutrients, and what type of nutrients should one be watchful of?
Well, we've identified around 15 different nutrients that overall people are deficient in. And two of the top ones are omega-3 and vitamin D. I think it's 80 to 90% of Americans, they estimate to have a low omega-3 level. 40 to 70% of people worldwide have a vitamin D deficiency. And the power of those two nutrients in combination, we think, but certainly one another, are extremely important in what kinds of health outcomes we're seeing.
So tell us about, when we break it down from one nutrient to another, tell us about some of the ones that are really critical that on a daily basis we should take care of. At least we should look into it and make sure that we are consuming or we are doing something about it.
So if you just take vitamin D real quickly, I mean, a lot of people think they have a low level because they've been tested by their practitioner, and that's often true. Mm-hmm. You need to get that level to 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. And with that, we are seeing reductions in cancer rates of 65% and a reduction in preterm births of 60% from pregnant women who keep their levels there. If you look at omega-3, we have a lot of information that tells us it's really critical for heart health. We've got great research that's showing people who take omegas have a reduction in mortality from cardiovascular disease. And our objective is to say, let's figure out what your nutrient level is, what it takes to get it to the right. Because I myself, my nutrient level was at not quite 5 and needs to be 8 and over. So, and what happens with your health as you make that transition? Because you'll see as you measure your levels what your health status is and how you are how you're faring in terms of the rest of the study population and the world at large in terms of your health status.
And there's also a way to test.
There is a way to test. And when you go to nutrientpower.org, our website, which is for your listeners, you can enroll in this study that's been around for about 7 years, and now we've added omega-3 to it. You order the kit. It's two simple blood spots that you take, and then you send it in and complete the survey. It's an IRB study done by a very reputable group, and then you're a part of this very large cohort where we are coming up, where we're deriving all this amazing information about the power of nutrients. And you can also learn a lot at nutrientpower.org about the ways you can supplement in addition to dietary supplements with foods and some of these other nutrients where we know we're deficient.
You know, it's funny because a lot of time people have the tendency to think that when you talk about vitamins, supplements, and it's something that is very, very popular, quote unquote, in America. But everyone has to be mindful of it. It's not just an American thing or a Western thing. You know, it's a global concern where everyone has to look into their nutrients and see where they are.
It's so true. I mean, we have for years assumed that you can get everything you needed from food. And people who eat organic primarily assume that they're getting the most nutrition that they can out of food, and their nutrient levels are sufficient. And that's not always the case. We've depleted our soil so significantly that we're finding through that research that that is really hampering our ability to eat all the nutrients we need. And some of the research that has been done in areas like Africa shows that it's the same kinds of issues in terms of how many people are actually able to access the sun significantly enough to get vitamin D levels, and the same with omega. There's not a lot of information on Africa, but there's a couple of countries there. One is just like Alaska. Nigeria has really high rates of omega-3. Mm-hmm. And then there are others that just fare as poorly as the United States, where the average level is at 4 and under.
Now, you talk about omega-3, you talk about vitamin D. Can you enlighten us in terms of where do we find those nutrients in the diet, for example, if we're not to look into supplements?
Certainly, for vitamin D, it's virtually impossible to eat your way into a decent level. But with omega-3s, if you consume what is recommended is 2-3.5 ounce servings of great oily fish, so that you want to do wild salmon, sardines, mackerel, things like that, you can get your level up. But you have to monitor it to see. I thought I would be way up there, and I was not. So yes, you can get your omega-3s from food, and once you know your levels, then you can sort of offset the difference. Like if you can't afford to eat those fish, or mostly people don't enjoy those kinds of foods, then you want to look at a great omega-3 supplement, either a fish oil, cod liver oil, or even krill, which is a great sustainable solution set.
So eating fish every day, like I do, doesn't guarantee a good level of omega-3, is that?
I would say the odds of you having a higher level are pretty good if you're eating fish every day. I really would. But by far, you are an original in that regard. Most people do not like to eat that much fish.
And is there a specific type of fish where we have more than the other?
You're definitely looking at the more oily cold water fishes. So like wild salmon is really the best that you can do. Mm-hmm. But some of the other smaller fish, like sardines, are also really good for that. And they carry less toxic load because they're smaller and they're in the water longer. So they're not exposed to some of those nutrients. And one of the reasons that we recommend krill is because it's also a fish, a very small one, that is collected around the world by a really remarkable set of companies who come to agreements in terms about how to harvest sustainably, which is a good thing because we've got a lot of people who need to eat a lot of omegas.
Yeah. So then just to understand clearly about omega-3, omega-3 is a nutrient that you find in fish only or primarily? Can we find
primarily,
it?
Primarily. Okay. So yeah, you can, omega-3 eggs is a good source.
Okay.
These foods are listed on our website. And we encourage everyone to do that. It's interesting though, like I would suspect that as much as I hope now, after a few months, that my omega-3s are right up there where they need to be, mm-hmm. I would almost guarantee you that my iodine levels are low because these are some of the foods that you don't eat. Like if you don't eat processed foods, you're not getting iodine because you're not eating that salt, and all the sea salt I have does not have iodine in it. So it just is a really complex question. And how these nutrients all work together is what we're really designing these studies around to really enable people to own this themselves and really figure out how to get this accomplished on their own.
That's very interesting when you talk about processed food, because some of us will try to avoid it. I'm not saying we do every day, but so you do need the salt. You do need
salt, but you don't need that kind of salt. So also the processed food has the omega-6s. So everybody talks about the balance between omega-6 and omega-3. The sixes, it should be a one-on-one, but because we all do tend to eat processed food, that's where those what we call bad omegas are coming in, and you're overloaded with those. And then that also includes the fats and the salts, and those are the kinds of salts that are enriched with iodine. So I don't need any of that, but that's why we're really looking at the nutrient field trials to be able to get a really sound picture of what happens in my body and your body, mm-hmm. and the collective force of how we change healthcare policy and the way people live through that work.
So is there a telltale sign to be able to know that your omega-3 level is not as where it's supposed to be.
Right. And that really is the issue with compliance. So I am not a very compliant, true confession, supplement taker. I get, you know, in a groove and then something happens and I forget for a few weeks or a few days. And what I find with this is, and part of that is because when you're taking supplements, it's you don't necessarily notice anything different in your body right away. And so you can fall off the wagon in that regard. But when you when I'm on the hook to have another test in 6 months and know what my level is, I'm like, hey, I gotta be on my game here. I gotta be taking my supplements. So it's really hard to be able to judge your levels, impossible actually, without knowing from a really good validated test.
Okay. So then the test is the way to go.
Test is the way to go.
Okay. So now I wanted to, there's so much more we can talk about, and I wanted to dissect vitamin D like we try to do with omega-3. Now, but before we do that, tell us about why it was important for you to get involved in this field of work. What got your attention?
Well, I don't know that there's anybody on the planet that loves my job as much as I do. Maybe you. I would say.
I do love my job.
I love my job too. This work is just, you know, the first time I really sat through and listened to the vitamin D research, which was about 3 years ago, I actually heard a prostate cancer research piece, and my husband had just gone through surgery at the time. And it took a cohort of men who were in that range where we're going to watch your Gleason score for a year. Mm-hmm. And it said, okay, we're going to watch your Gleason score. And the other half of the group, they gave them vitamin D, and they monitored their vitamin D levels, and they got them between 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter. Everyone in that cohort that took vitamin D avoided surgery. And that's when I said, this is just criminal that people don't have this information.
That's amazing.
And from there, to watch this research being done at places like the Medical University of South Carolina, where 60%, the reduction in preterm births of 60% was astounding to me, in a country where 25 of our states have preterm birth rates of 50%. You know, it's just, it's crazy how much you can do with such a little inexpensive addition to your diet.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Wow. So then tell us about Organic and Natural Health Association. What do you do?
We're a trade association. We're located in Washington, D.C., and we represent really the best of the best in the dietary supplement industry, and we're working with a lot of food companies and nonprofits. Our objective is really to get this information out to people all over the country and across the borders, to be able to teach people what nutrients are, what they can do for you, to do this kind of research, and to really show people how to access quality dietary supplements and foods that'll make a difference in their lives.
That's fantastic. Okay, so then we are talking about supplements, nutrients, vitamins, and there are so many questions about this topic because, again, a lot of people wonder, is it even necessary? Is it important? How much impact it has, especially when people are not sick. They don't really see the need of taking something extra for their health when there is no apparent sickness. So we will discuss further this topic with Karen Howard in a moment. But first, we are going to go to the news and see what's going on in the health front with our Tahira Allen.
Thank you, Lenore. In Seychelles, Make a Child Smile, a charity group, is bringing in eye specialists from the U.S. to help those whose vision is impaired. Specialists in low vision from Maryland can be expected to make it to the island for consultations by early next year. They will assist with special vision aids and other technologies to improve residents' vision. This is the beginning of what hopefully will be a partnership that will provide these tests on a more regular basis, with vision aids being brought in from the U.S. Make a Child. From the U.S., Make a Child will also assist one contestant named Ella Marie to help a boy who has no eyes due to cancer. And that's all for today's health news. Lenore, back to you.
Thank you, Tahira. That was Tahira, and that was a great piece of news. Now it's time for a short break. We'll be back for more.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bungani in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Can't AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
Welcome back. For those of you joining us late tonight, we are discussing vitamins and supplements with our guest, Karen Howard, Executive Director of the Organic and Natural Health Association. And we will continue our conversation in a moment. But first, VOA's Anna Mathiho has this report on vitamin D.
We should all let the sun shine in as much as possible, and not just because it makes us feel good. Exposure to sunlight produces vitamin D in our skin. This is why we call vitamin D the sunshine vitamin. Vitamin D is good for everybody. In fact, research shows this sunshine vitamin could help women with breast cancer live longer. Breast cancer patients who have high blood levels of vitamin D have a better prognosis than women who don't. A prognosis is how quickly a doctor expects a patient to recover, or how long a doctor expects a patient to live. Researchers found that these women had less aggressive cancers. They were also 30% less likely to die from the cancer or to get it again. Researcher Song Yao led the study for the Roswell Park Cancer Institute. He said the study showed that high vitamin D levels improved the patient's prognosis, no matter what type or how advanced their cancer was. Besides fighting breast cancer, vitamin D helps the body in other ways. Most importantly, vitamin D controls how the body absorbs calcium. It also makes sure the body's immune system works normally. Getting enough vitamin D is important for normal growth of bones. If you don't get enough, you are at risk of developing osteoporosis, a disease that makes your bones fragile, brittle, or easy to break. Several studies show that vitamin D also strengthens the immune system and helps the body fight disease. Vitamin D may help reduce your risk of developing heart disease, according to a 2008 study published in the journal Circulation. And it may also help protect you against getting the flu. Other studies have shown that vitamin D might help people suffering from depression. But how do we get enough vitamin D? Factors in the environment may limit our exposure to sunlight, and therefore, vitamin D. These factors include pollution, using too much sunscreen, spending too much time inside, and living in areas with little sunlight. So, if you can't get enough sunshine, eat foods that are rich in vitamin D. Egg yolks, cheese, and fatty fish such as salmon, sardines, tuna, or mackerel. Some foods such as orange juice, yogurt, and cereals are fortified with vitamin D. They are also good sources. How much vitamin D you need is a debated topic. The best way to know if you need more vitamin D is to get tested by a doctor. And that's the Health and Lifestyle Report. I'm Ana Mateo.
And Karen, we heard this report. Let me have your reaction. There are so many benefits and advantages that she enumerated in this report. So just give us a sense of how does this work. Is this all true? I mean, if it's in the report, I suppose it is true. So many advantages to taking vitamin D.
So many advantages that there's no reason to not take vitamin D. I like the, you know, this is interesting in that vitamin D has a correlation now with cardiovascular health. That's absolutely true. So when we look at the preliminary results for where we are now with omega-3, we see all of our great cohort that's gotten that 40 to 60 range for vitamin D, and yet their omega levels are really low. Mm-hmm. So imagine what you can do to heart health, given that we know both work to improve your heart health. Imagine what the statistics will bear out from that. I mean, right now, in terms of cancer rates with vitamin D, we are seeing a 65% reduction in cancer rates for the people who are in this group and have this high level of vitamin D, a 50% reduction in diabetes, and as I said, 60% decrease in preterm births. So this is not anything to play around with. I mean, and it's true. If you wanted to be able to get vitamin D without and I don't think it's possible to get your levels to where they need to be with food. So you would need to be outside 2 to 3 times a week, 20 minutes a day, most of your skin exposed. For people of color, that is even more significant, 2 to 3 times that. And our lifestyles are not, they just don't really allow that as much. So I think it's accurate. I think knowing your level is where to start. People do require different amounts of vitamin D to improve their level. So you may take 5,000 IUs a day. I take 2,000 IUs a day. Somebody else may be so deficient that it's a higher dosage.
So there is no set number in terms of how much we need. It depends on each individual's need.
It's very individual. I mean, it took a while for people to figure out that it's a fat-soluble vitamin, so you needed to eat it with food. So these are the kinds of things that we're working to discover. With omega-3s, it's an interesting scenario as well. I have a friend who takes a very good high-dose omega-3, and she has a very low level. And the theory behind that from the scientists is that she exercises it all off before she has a chance to absorb it.
Oh, wow.
So the key goes back to really knowing your levels and watching that on a regular basis.
Wow, that's something, isn't it? Okay, so let me ask you this. When people are looking for supplements and vitamins, when they're trying to buy, what should they look for?
Well, that's a great question because there's so much on the shelves. It's actually worse than picking cereals in a grocery store. The first thing I always tell people, if it makes a claim on the bottle that you know it's going to cure something or treat something, put it back because that's illegal. Mm. This is a regulated industry. It is regulated as food, not as pharmaceutical, but it is the most regulated of all foods. So all these companies adhere to good manufacturing practices, and all of their claims are monitored by the federal government. So warning letters are sent out, inspections are done, and products are pulled off shelves. Mm. So to make yourself more informed, you can obviously use the information that we have at nutrientpower.org. And I would go to places where you know that the people in the aisles, these independent natural food retailers, are great sources of information about the differences between the products and what's in them and the dosaging. And they're very careful about the products they put on their shelves. And then I would also suggest that you do pay attention to price. Mm-hmm. If there's a big price differential and something looks really inexpensive, it goes into that category of too good to be true because the quality vitamins that you buy on the shelves really do cost more. And look at the websites, see how transparent they are about their supply chain.
That's very interesting. You said that's so important. The quality is everything.
Because some people will
try to say, oh, our products are cheaper and everything, but what about quality?
Correct.
Because for this, there's also something, that's also something to watch for. Now, you mentioned something that I was going to ask, and I would like us to come back to that because that's a concern for most people. How regulated is this industry? A lot of people have this sense that it is not
very well regulated.
There's a lot of press about it not being regulated.
Yes.
And what's interesting about that is that when you regulate the pharmaceutical industry, which is what typically dietary supplements are compared to, you're actually worried about safety because you're putting a foreign object into your body.
Exactly.
And that's highly relevant. So you need to prove that it's safe and you need to prove that it's efficient and efficacious. These are foods that have been put into a different form and they need to be safe and they need to have a supply chain that's very carefully monitored. Mm-hmm. They have all these rules and regulations. They are not pre-tested for that when they go on the market because they are regulated as food because they're nutrients. They're dietary supplements. They're already in our supply chain and food. So that's really the differential. And it is a bit of a misnomer that it is, they just don't require pre-market approval.
Okay.
And then most of us, especially those of us who work in the trades, the trade industry, our members adhere to all of these principles. So you need to look and be, you know, sort of thoughtful about the kinds of seals that are on people's products, what organizations they belong to. You can look at our organic and natural health, and you can see our members. People I find who are using dietary supplements regularly are some of the smartest consumers I've ever met in my life.
Really?
Very diligent about what they spend their money on.
Why? Because of the research they do or
the
understanding of the importance?
They're committed to their health, the health of their families. Mm-hmm. They know that without these nutrients, they typically have family health histories where they've had problems and they want to avoid some of these chronic diseases and they want to do it well and right. So they're well-read. They go into the research. We know that. So the people who come to our site will always have quality information that they can get. And that is, you know, that's right, the trick, right? Where do you go to get the information that you can trust?
Yes, yes, indeed. Now, you launched a consumer awareness campaign called The Power of Nutrients. Tell us about this campaign and the goals.
This is our campaign really to bring the information directly to people across the country to enable them to enroll in the study if they want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend a lot of time and energy building the body of research using all of us who enroll in the program with those outcomes. We share that information on the website. We share it through our scientific advisors, so we're out on media all the time, local and national. And we want to build that body of research to include all the nutrients where we think there are deficiencies.
Why is it important for people to be nutrition aware?
Well, it's really the cornerstone of your health.
Yeah.
You know, yes, there are some other things. Quality water, air, and good night's sleep are going to do just as good as a great meal.
Yes.
And we are living at a time where healthcare is really at a crisis point. You know, everything is in jeopardy from our national security on down in terms of people's ability to function at high levels and our kids being able to think at school and do well and what our future looks like. For me, that's all about what I put in my body. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it's all about the nutrition that I mean, I'm not 100% great, but I'm pretty good about like taking care of myself because I know it makes a difference. So I can be a bit of a soapbox person when it comes to this issue because it makes a difference and it will make a difference to getting out of our disease state that we're in and actually working in a healthcare environment.
Yes. And you said something about vitamin D and people of color. And I wanted to emphasize on this point because a lot of people are not aware. When we have darker skin, there is melanin that is a natural protection against the sun. So is this perhaps one of the reasons why, as you have darker skin, you need more exposure to get the effect of vitamin to come through?
It is true. And even in southern climates where the sun's out longer, people of color have 55% more deficiency rates than elsewhere. So it is a significant issue for everyone. And while we'd all like to be on the beach every day at lunch, not sure we can all pull it off.
So many people lie. Yes, that's right. So before we wrap, tell us perhaps something what is the takeaway from this? What would you like us to take away?
What I'd really like people to know is that it's critical that you understand your nutrient level so that you can begin to change your diet and supplement appropriately. And the only way to do that is to have them measured. So please join us at nutrientpower.org and learn more about how you can get that done and be a part of just changing the world.
Great. Karen, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And that was Karen Howard, Executive Director of the Organic and Natural Health Association. I'm your host, Lenore Moudou in Washington, with producer Kwame Ofori and Tahira Allen with the news. Until next time, take care, be well, and strive to make every day a healthy day.